The World Bank EdTech team speaks with educators around the world to learn how they're innovating. And today we're passing the mic to our teachers team for them to host an episode. In 2020, Ranjit Desale won the Global Teacher Prize, a $1 million award presented annually to an exceptional teacher who's made an outstanding contribution to their profession. On today's episode, Ezequiel Molina, Senior Economist in the Education Global Practice at the World Bank, and Adele Pushpuratnam, Education Specialist at the World Bank, speak with Ranjit about his journey as a teacher and his vision for teachers in the future. On March 23rd, join us to continue the conversation. As part of the World Bank Global Platform for Successful Teachers panel, Ranjit will speak with Jaime Saavedra, Global Director of Education at the World Bank, about how we can support teachers in the age of the pandemic. Register for the virtual event via the link in our episode notes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this podcast. My name is Adele Pushpuratnam, and I'm an education specialist at the Education Global Practice at the World Bank. And I'm here with my colleague, Ezequiel Molina.
Hi, I'm Ezequiel Molina, and I'm a senior economist and the global lead for the Teachers Thematic Group at the Education Global Practice.
And we are very honored to have with us today Ranjit Desale. So Ranjit, we are very honored to have you here with us today. And just so everyone knows, Ranjit is the Global Teacher Prize winner. And this prestigious prize was founded by the Varkey Foundation in 2014 to shine a spotlight on the incredible work of teachers around the world. And every year, it awards $1 million to an exceptional teacher who has made an outstanding contribution to their profession. 2020's Global Teacher Prize winner was Ranjit Desale from India, who won the prize for his extensive work in the field of girls' education and revolutionizing textbooks. He actually wanted to be an IT engineer and had enrolled in an engineering college, was persuaded to take up teacher training by his father. And although he was initially hesitant about the decision, he has since embraced his role and has exemplified how the resolve of one teacher can have a huge impact and change the lives of students. So Ranjit, to kick us off, tell us a little bit about yourself, especially what your educational experience was growing up and what motivated you to become a teacher.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me and speak to you here today. I'm so delighted to speak to you. Actually, I never dreamed to be a teacher. I wanted to become an engineer. And I'm really, really interested in IT sector since my childhood. Computer science was the subject I like most. Some people who grow up to be teacher say that they love school from the first day when they were there. But that wasn't always the case with me. Personally, I was not the best behaved student at school. And I didn't like being kept inside all the time in front of a book and a teacher teaching to me. I never liked it. I often wanted to go outside the classroom and try so many things. So it's like going beyond the classroom and try and learn. I also used to ask a lot of questions in a classroom, but my teachers didn't always like this, and they often punished me. I was always fired by my teachers, and I was never very interested in grades and marks and numbers. I was more interested in learning new skills, discovering the rich world that we all are part of. As I grew up, I dreamed to be an IT engineer. And I joined the engineering college as well, but it wasn't my case. I couldn't continue my engineering college. I had to leave it just because I was bullied by colleagues. Those were the darkest days in my life. And with the devastated and depressed guy, I went back to home. And I was thinking to settle down, take a rest, and try to take a new exam and join new engineering college. That was my initial thought. But my father, who was a teacher, he advised me, Ranjit, why don't you join a teacher's training college? Because you're going to waste your 6 months here by sitting at home. So it's better to go to teacher's training college. Just be there. If you liked it, you can continue. Otherwise, you have an option to join another new engineering college. So with that keeping in mind, I joined teacher's training college. And that was a turning point in my life. The teachers in the teachers training college changed me throughout. They showed me how educators could inspire their students and help to shape their future and future of the communities over the years and decades, rather than just focusing on rote learning and grades. Teachers in the Teachers Training College filled a fuel of passion in me. There I realized and experienced teachers are real change makers. Experiencing that, I decided to become a change maker, to lighten the life of many students and give them the birthright of quality education. This was a very important lesson that still informs me. Whatever I'm doing in the classroom today, I'm here just for the sake of my students, giving them their birthright and lightening their life and shaping their future.
Thanks, that was great. Going back to your days when you started working as a teacher, do you remember your first day as a teacher? What was that like?
Yes, I do remember that day. It was 5th of January 2009.
I remember the specific date.
Yes, I do remember. And actually, I do celebrate it every year. Because, you know, I had very special memories. Being a teacher, I was appointed as a teacher there in Jilla Parishad School, Parithiwadi. It is actually far away from my hometown, more about 65 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And my father took me there and he introduced me my headmaster. Then headmaster welcomed me and took me to my classroom. And he said, Ranjit, now this is your classroom. And looking at the classroom, I was shocked. I asked him, sir, are you sure this is my classroom? He said, yes. I replied, sir, it looks like it's a cow shed. But he calmly replied, Ranjit, this building belongs to government and this is supposed to be a classroom. You have to teach here. It's your job now. I was left alone and it was really shocking. I never imagined a classroom like this. And most important and shocking thing was that parents were not complaining about the status of the classroom. This was most shocking to me. Because they were completely unaware of the importance of the education and what changes education can bring in their life. So whenever you ask me day one, I had these memories with me.
Thanks, Ranjit. Could you paint us more of a picture of what that classroom looked like? How many students did you have in your classroom? You know, what was inside the classroom? Did it have a window? What materials did you have to work with? Did you have a blackboard, for example? Could you describe that a little bit more?
No, there wasn't any blackboard and there wasn't any student. When I entered and I opened the door of the classroom, then what was there? But pillows. Their food was there. Food packed in a sack. Some goats were there and cows were there. That room was occupied by a villager. And he never wanted to give it back to me. When I asked my headmaster, where are my students? He just provided me a list of students and told me, these are your students. Now just search them, where are they? So I have to search them, where they are living, where they were going. So most of my students were working in the farm. And girls were sitting at home, cooking and taking care of their little brothers and sisters. So this is how my classrooms looked like in 2009. So my journey started from cowshed. And now after the 12 years, it turns into the global classroom.
Wow. That's truly inspirational and leads us nicely to this next question. So going from that cowshed to where you are now, we read about some of the work you've done to improve learning outcomes for your students, like helping to redesign textbooks to include QR codes that would contain video lectures and assignments and stories and audio poems. Can you share a little bit more about some of the things that you've done that you are most proud of?
Yes, actually, I'm very proud of what I did and what I'm doing for my girls and for their education. Because girls' education wasn't taken very seriously in my village. And throughout many parts of the world, girls get less education than boys. And it's true, it's a fact. Around 130 million girls globally are out of the school. There are many reasons for this. One is that the traditional societies tend to place more importance on boys' education because they believe that they will be breadwinners today. And girls will have to raise the children. And girls are often encouraged to marry as teens, cutting short their education. Mm-hmm. There were various reasons behind this, but often reason is that money. A dowry can provide much needed income for the family. And in other cases, caring responsibilities are placed on girls. Mm. And this limits the time they can spend in a classroom, right? Sometimes there is also expectation that girls do not attend school during their monthly cycle. This means they are away for few days. So I aim to build up girls' self-confidence, skills, and voices, and then help them to be their own best advocates. I designed QR-coded textbook for my students, those who cannot and couldn't attend a school. I curated the content, designed some digital content, recorded my videos, and embedded in a format of QR codes. And these QR codes were then pasted in students' textbooks. And now, students have to scan the QR code. And when they scan a QR code, they will get a digital content well curated for themselves, considering their style of learning. Because I believe every student learns at his own pace with his own style of learning. So I want to make learning more personalized. And whenever they want, they should start learning. So these QR coded textbooks help my students, especially girls. Even sitting at home, they were able to continue their education. Girls were able to access the digital content, ask the questions, participated in a discussion forum, and express creatively what they have learned. As a part of empowering girls, it also involves making school a safe place for my students and girls. So over the last decade, I have made a great deal of progress. Parents in the community have now started believing in girls' education and see that school offers them a great deal. Today, there is a virtually 100% attendance in a school, and there are no recent teenage marriages since 2012. That's a huge success to me, and I'm very proud of my students and community and parents as well. Most importantly, parents are no longer viewing girls as lesser than boys. And the ratio of girls to boys in the community has become more equal. I'm very proud of these things.
And you should be, Ranjit. What do you think helped change the minds of the people in your wider community about the importance of education for girls? What do you think caused that shift that now led to there being 100% enrollment, like you mentioned, and, you know, an equal number of girls and boys in your classroom?
Right. So, you know, I more believe in acceptance of a change, not just forcing a change on villagers. If you try to change them forcefully, their force of action will be on you as well. It's like action to reactions. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I keep inviting girls from nearby villages, nearby cities, to deliver a lecture and share their journey of learning. And I often ask parents, look at that girl. If she can learn, why don't yours? If her father can invest in her education and her education can change her life, why not yours? Do you want your girl to be working in the farm? They were saying, no, sir, no, sir. Then I asked them, what do you want to choose? So I just push them to accept the change. It's better now to invest in education of a girl rather than giving dowry to her husband. Mm. It's better and it's worth the investment in girls' education. So I use very simple technique and strategy. Just role-playing technique helped me to pursue their mindset and accept the fact the girls are as equal as boys. Rather than more, girls can do much better than the boys. And the result is now in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a powerful message. And I want to follow up on this, because you are talking about how you try to help parents change their mind about girls' education. But can you describe how was the reaction and interaction with your school leader, your fellow teachers, how they view you when you came with these ideas that were revolutionizing a little bit what they were doing in the schools? How was that process? Did they embrace the changes that you were proposing? Were they afraid in the beginning? It would be great if you can describe a little bit how that went about.
Yes. So my colleagues and my headmaster, they were actually afraid of the steps I've taken. And they were saying that, Ranjit, this is not going to work. You have to try something different. Otherwise, our officer will fire us if you cannot achieve what exactly you're doing. I had to be in the palm. Half of my time of a school was actually vested in a palm to search my students where they were. And my headmaster was really worried of it. So Ranjit, if boys are not coming, it's their decision. You should be in the classroom. No matter students are there or not. Just be in the classroom. And it's a rule. But I was not agree with his view. I was telling him, so I can't wait students to come to my school. If they were not coming to school, then school and education has to reach out their doors. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And when gradually they experienced the change, parents believing me, trusted me, and sending their kids in the classroom, then my staff, colleagues, and headmasters started supporting me. And now, after the 10, 12 years, we all working together. And whatever I achieved, they have played very significant role behind all the success I have achieved.
You know, at the World Bank, we try to do a big support to the technical assistance and financial support for countries to improve the support that they provide to teachers. But it would be great to hear from you if you were in charge of teachers in India or at the global level. What do you think would be the most important changes that would need to be made so teachers are better supported and they can help students improve learning?
Global Teacher Prize does not recognize me. It actually shines light on teachers and teaching profession to encourage people to give teachers the respect they deserve and to show how good teaching can change lives for better. The most important factor in providing quality education is to create great teachers and empower them to do great things. Outside my school duties, I often engage in teachers' training on how to introduce technology in the classroom. And over the last few years, I have trained 60,000 teachers in this way. To get the best of our students, we must become a teachers of 21st century. Students of 21st century are being taught by teachers of 20th century. With 19th century curriculum using 18th century techniques. And we must ensure that teachers should be trained to high standard and they should employ different learning styles, techniques, and use technology in a meaningful way that could lead to the authentic learning. This will help to unlock the skills of our students that they need for the better future. And empowered students can only be nurtured by empowered teachers, right? More often, students see the world through the lenses of their teachers. And that's why teachers need to be creative energies and enthusiasm and use them in a classroom. The teachers also need support each other as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I started a community of like-minded teachers in India. There are now 7,000 members of it to help and to promote new teachers' techniques. Because I know technology cannot replace a teacher, but teachers, those who are using technology, may replace a teacher who is not using it. And students of 21st century tends to learn from a teacher who is using technology. And so to support teachers, I've already decided to share 30% of my global teacher prize money to create, to find out and to recognize special teachers. And the fund I allocated will be called as Teachers Innovation Fund. This is because I often seen good ideas fail due to lack of resources, lack of recognition, when they might thrive with just a little financial help. So I think becoming a global teacher, now it's my role to support teaching profession, support each and every teacher so that their work should be recognized and community world starts respecting teachers. I have also decided to share 50% of my prize money with other top 10 global teacher prize finalists who are no less innovative and worthy of prize than me. I think we all are equal. I know they all will use this prize money wisely and effectively, because ultimately I personally feel the world is my classroom. Mm-hmm. I am going to shape this world, future of this world. And these 9 finalists will support my vision and will take it further in their respective country to really create a step change in how teachers are viewed and how they are valued. However, more than money is needed for this. Mm-hmm. And this is where another element of this Global Teacher Prize comes in. It purposes to show that teaching is most important and the noblest profession in the 21st century. We need to prepare our students for the future. To be a teacher, we require hard work, leadership, creative mind, and genuine empathy for students. We need to show that teaching is a profession to aspire to as well. And in India, there is now much more positivity about teachers as a result of an Indian teacher, Indian guy winning the Global Teacher Prize first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way community, way people in India celebrated this success, it may boost the status of educators throughout the country in many years to come. So I personally feel very privileged to be an ambassador for teachers, both in my own country and around the world. So I think if I wanted to do something for teachers, these are the few things that I will be doing.
It's great, Ranjit. Thank you for sharing that. And it's amazing as well that you're putting things into action, right? It's not just the theory of how we could support teachers better, but you're actually making it happen. And I think it took the world by surprise when you decided to share the prize money in the way that you mentioned with the other finalists, and also for this fund to support innovative teaching practices. And if we understand correctly, you will also be using your prize money to start an initiative that would help recruit 50,000 students from war-torn areas to the Peace Army. Is that correct?
Yes, you're right.
You know, you're doing all these amazing things. How has your life changed since getting the prize? And what's next in your journey, apart from the things that you've mentioned? What else should we be waiting for and looking out for?
Yeah, you're right. Life has changed. It's more like I became a celebrity to Indian community. And
people ask you for your autograph.
Yes, autographs. Many producers are asking me for making a movie. Publishers are asking me to publish a book. Last 1 month was full of visitors at home. My own room was full of flowers and bouquets and books and gifts. So it's the love of Indian people. Indians love like this. When they like someone, they love a meal, they throw entire their loves to it. So I've experienced the love of Indian people. And the change I observed, people started listening to me. seriously. Mm-hmm. Whatever I'm saying, whatever the ideas I'm putting, they are respecting. Let me give you a very, very small example. I had an idea of promoting education across the state. I made a plan of action for that. And I directly reached out to the rural development minister. I called him and told him that I had this plan. I want to work it out. And he next day, he ordered all the chief executive officers in the state. Now contact to Ranjit. He had a plan of actions and tried to execute it.
Wow.
So this is how the life is changing. So I want to take a benefit of it for the betterment of teaching profession and making teaching more and more impactful so that every student will get and access quality education. In next few years, you can expect more and more Ranjit Desilai across the world. I'm going to find out there. I know there are so many Ranjit Desilai across the world and they are doing their work, excellent work in the classroom. I'm just going to find out them. I'm just going to support them and upscale their work, lift up their work and recognize them, not only in India, but across the world, so that the network of like-minded teachers, influential teachers might be helpful for global organizations like UNESCO, UNICEF, and World Bank. There should be a teacher's voice heard and respected at global level as well. Because teachers are working on ground. They know what are the problems they are facing. So I'm going to be their voice. I'm going to be the ambassador of teachers, raising their voice, amplifying their voice, and for the betterment of the education system across the world. I would also like to see each and every country is helping girls' education with the help of QR coded textbook. Very unique and very simple idea. I haven't done anything different, but a small idea can change the life. I would expect from World Bank as well, if they're going to contribute, if they're going to support this idea to scale up it across the world, I'll be more than happy.
Amazing.
And Ranjit, you want to raise the voice of teachers, you want to provide a platform and to be the ambassador of teachers. And one question that now is in everyone's mind is how countries can best support teachers during COVID. And I was wondering, what are your ideas and your discussion with other teachers? What are the things that teachers would want to make sure that policymakers know when they are thinking of how to best support them during these times?
I think now policymakers should first listen to teachers, what they are demanding, what are their expectations, rather than pushing your thoughts to them. Policymakers now should adopt a strategy of acceptance of a change. If policymakers want to change something, it should be accepted by teachers. And if teachers are expecting some change, then policymakers should be accepting that. So my suggestion on what teachers are going to expecting, they need a support. Because in these fourth world countries, these countries have now started to de-invest in education. Just look at their budget and how much money they are investing in education. It is getting lesser, lesser, lesser by year and year. So how we can ensure teacher support and they're going to contribute for the best and quality education. Teachers' demand and their voices should be heard by the policymakers, and they should not disinvest in education. We need more money. Have you ever read Global Peace Index? I initiated a project, Let's Call the Borders, based on a facts mentioned in a Global Peace Index. World has spent and still spending trillions of dollars, and still world is conflicting. If half of the money would have been invested in education, result might be better. We might see the peaceful citizens, those who will be following the principle of nonviolence. And will it be beneficiary or not? Will it be good or not? Now, world should look at education as a shaping future and futuristic leader, because these futuristic leaders are in the classroom today. And if you are not going to provide them the facilities that they deserve, if you're not going to give them the quality education that they deserve, how the leaders will be of 2030 and 2050. Mm-hmm. So considering the future of the world, we should start investing or more and more investment in education for the betterment and uplifting the status, not only the teachers, but also the education system as well.
Great. Thank you, Ranjit. I think that's a great closing note to remind us all of the huge potential that education carries and how important it is and what a crucial role teachers play within that as well. And we completely agree with what you said about making sure that teachers' voices are heard in this journey. And we are very much committed to having that be a part of our work at the World Bank to support teachers better and making sure that teachers have a voice in that. And so we may be continuing to call on you, Ranjit, if you agree, to continue to share your thoughts and your opinions and to join us in events and in the creation of these materials and resources that can support teachers. So we hope that you'll continue to join us as we try to make progress. And we also look forward to seeing where you're going to take things and the big things you're going to do in the world.
Definitely. I'm being a citizen of this world, will always try to support each and everyone. And with the help, with the support of World Bank, what could be the better opportunity for me? Because you support the countries and I'm supporting in terms of a teacher or in terms of my experience to you. I think we both joining hands together will see the better results and the change can happen in the world. I'll be more than happy to be a part of World Bank, participating in your upcoming events as well, where my voice, my experience could be heard by policymakers, by the ministers and all the stakeholders of education sector, so that they could start rethinking of education.
We really will take you on what you said about how we can hear more teacher voices and make sure that our work integrate as well the concerns that teachers have and can elevate both the work that you are doing and the work that we are doing.
Thank you, Ranjit.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.